This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Hi friends, I'm Pearson Cross. Welcome to Bayou to Beltway. Today we are joined by two organizational people. They're activists in their various organizations. First is Andre Bro. Probably no surprise to many people around the Acadiana area. Andre was born in Lafayette. He went to college at Loyola. Then he attended the Clinton School of Public Service, where he got a master's in public service. He's currently vice president for policy initiatives and governmental affairs at One Acadiana, which is the regional chamber. Our other guest is Dr. Christy Malloy, who was born in Virginia. She went to Emory and Henry, where she got a degree in political science, then on to Texas A&M for a master's and PhD, is currently an associate professor at UL Lafayette, teaches political science, but she's also in the League of Women Voters, and she's chair of the Voter Services Committee. We're all here today to talk about the upcoming election season and some interesting forums that are going to be set for voters to help them better understand what's going on. So maybe we could take a second right at the beginning. You could talk about your respective organizations and what they briefly and what they do, generally speaking. Andre, you want to start?
Yeah, so thank you for having us, Pearson. Happy to be here. And One Acadiana, we are the regional economic development organization for the nine parish Acadiana region, as well as the Chamber of Commerce for Lafayette. And in our role as an economic development organization, we try to improve the quality of the region for business and talent to locate. And part of that includes improving our policy environment, which is one of the reasons why we're so engaged in the upcoming elections.
I see. Okay. And we're going to go back and explore that. Dr. Malloy.
I have been involved with the League of Women Voters almost since moving here in 2015. And the League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan voter advocacy organization celebrating its 100th year anniversary in 2020. Our local chapter has been active for several decades, and we work on voter engagement issues, bringing people nonpartisan voter guides, candidate forums, and also working on issues of accessibility for voter engagement.
I just noticed your 100-year anniversary, so that almost exactly corresponds with the passage of the,
Women's suffrage?
Women's suffrage,
not a coincidence.
Right? Not a coincidence. Did League of Women Voters arise out of the movement for women's suffrage in America?
Yes, they were one of the organizing groups who advocated on behalf of suffrage.
Gotcha. Okay. I noticed also when, Andre, when you were talking, the regional economic, you're the economic development organ for the region, but you're also the Lafayette Chamber of Commerce. And I was thinking, boy, that's very much like the mayor-president role where it's divided between different entities. Maybe we'll explore that later. But let's dive in. This is election season in Louisiana. So what elections are on the ballot? I suppose everybody knows or should know there's a gubernatorial election, but what other elections are there, and what are voters going to be asked to do?
Well, there's actually a full slate of statewide elections as well as a full slate of local elections on the ballot. So maybe I'll touch on the statewide elections and have Christy talk about the local elections. In addition to governor, as you say, the other statewide offices, so lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, and the commissioner positions are on the ballot, the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, BESSE, as well as every legislative seat in both the state Senate and the state House. And those particular races are going to be more interesting this year than any other year because it's the highest turnover we've had since term limits were instituted. So a full third of the legislature is turning over, including seven of the 24 senators and representatives who represent the nine parish Acadiana region.
So is that a result of term limits? So seven out of 24, those people are – they can't run for their position they're holding, right?
But correct.
But they are some of those familiar names and faces in there?
Probably the most familiar is Speaker Taylor Barra. He is term limited. Two of our state senators in the region are term limited as well. Senator Blade Morrish, who represents the western half of Acadiana or western portion of Acadiana, as well as Senator Eric LaFleur, who's from Ville Platte.
Right. Eric LaFleur, Blade Morish, of course, Taylor Barra, but also probably people right around Acadiana. Nancy Landry is, I believe, on that. Representative Nancy Landry.
Correct.
Yeah. So does this create a special kind of excitement when there are all these open seats?
It does. And we have a lot of new candidates running, especially for those open seats. Some of our incumbents are contested as well. So there is a lot of excitement around the legislative elections, which on a full ballot like we have, it's going to be important for people to pay attention to exactly who's running and what they stand for.
This is a question, and I think maybe I'll turn over to move to Christy on this one. And that's the question of, man, this sounds like an awfully full ballot.
And as though that weren't enough.
No, well, okay. Well, let's stay a little while at the state, if we can, just a little bit. So there are, I guess, 7 statewide elected positions that are running: governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general. And then that's not to count Bessie board. I mean, I wonder how many people could tell you what BESSE stands for, Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, in case you're wondering. I want to spoil my own quiz. But, golly, this is a lot to ask of voters, you know?
That, as well as 4 statewide constitutional amendments.
Ah, let's not forget those.
So there's lots of action that's happening at the state level.
Is there too much action? I mean, are we raising the bar too high for voters? What's going on here? Is this likely to affect... Answer this question: is the are the amount of offices open likely to spur participation or likely to diminish it?
I think they're likely to spur.
Okay, how does that work?
Part of that is the more competition that exists, the more voters get engaged and interested. And no one likes going to a contest where they already know who's going to be the winner necessarily. It's sort of our same reaction if we go to a sporting event, no, it's going to be a blowout. You have lower audience attendance. But as we have more people on the ballot, we have all of these people term limited out, we'll see a lot of new faces. That's going to get a new crowd interested and engaged.
Now, as I understand it, the governor's race is the marquee race, and that, you know, so from voter turnout perspective, you expect voter turnout to be higher in a year when the governor is running, you know. So,
yes.
So when there's a race, this is a contested governor's race, likely to be very heated. Is that going to have effects down ballot?
I think so. Part of it is we'll definitely see higher turnout than we would for just a local set of elections. On average, our gubernatorial elections, at least in Lafayette, average around 40% turnout. That's better than some of the 6, 8, 10% turnout races that we've seen recently with our own local elections. But on the flip side, that's still 60%, a supermajority of people who are registered but not voting.
So when you say 40% turnout, that would mean that of registered voters.
Of registered voters.
So and registered voters only make up about, about 2/3 of those who are actually eligible, or 80%? What is it?
And Lafayette Parish is a little bit closer to 3/4.
3/4, okay. So that's pretty diminished. So people don't vote. Why don't people vote?
Often they think that their vote doesn't matter and it's not worth their time. Or more often, people don't feel comfortable, like they know enough to actually go and vote.
Ah.
We see more people participate in the presidential elections because it gets so much coverage on their local nightly news or on Facebook or wherever they're getting their information from. So they at least have a sense of who's on the ballot. But when you have 20 different contests, it can feel overwhelming to people, as though they don't know, who am I going to vote for? Do I even know what BESSE stands for? Which is one of the reasons that the work that our organizations are doing to help people get engaged early, I think, is really critical.
Well, let's talk about that just a little bit. Let's go back to Andre for this question. Andre, why would One Acadiana, which is a economic development organization, care about an upcoming election? And why would your organization go ahead and you know, cooperate with other organizations to sponsor forums and so on? What make the connection for us?
Yes. So we are trying to create the best place for business and talent to locate. So that includes the quality of our infrastructure. It includes the quality of our workforce and the quality of our policy environment as a whole. And we need the right elected officials in place to make those decisions. And that's why it's so important for us to engage the business community and to represent the voice of the business community in the elections.
Now, does your organization actually endorse candidates?
We do not endorse candidates. Okay. So we are highly engaged in the political process up and until endorsement.
Up and until endorsement. So your role would be more to provide people who might want to know information about various candidates and their positions?
We seek to be a purveyor of fact.
And you're a business organization, so if does that mean there's an automatic kind of pro-business bias built into your organization or the way that you approach this? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So that's question one, is there a bias towards business? And second, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I think that our mission is to try to create jobs and build wealth. And so I think that's important for business, but I think it's important for the community as a whole. So I would see this as kind of a rising tide that lifts all boats. By improving the quality of our region for business, we're improving the quality of our region for everyone.
So you would say, yeah, the rising tide lifts all boats, more booming business, more entrepreneurial, people are drawn to the community, everybody does better. That would be the argument.
Exactly.
Okay. Christy, let's move back and talk about local elections just a little bit. We didn't get there. We were overwhelmed with the plethora of statewide elected positions and other ones, legislative. So what's going on locally?
Well, there's a lot of action. We have a whole slate of parish-wide races, including mayor, president, our sheriff, our clerk of court, our coroner, probably not going to be highly contested, as well as recent changes to our council, our legislative branch, which has been consolidated since 1996, but due to the December 8th, 2018 election, will now be separated into a parish council and a city council. And that's one where I think people are going to need the most getting up to speed in terms of figuring out, wait, who represents me? Because a lot of the numbers have changed. You know, for instance, instead of having a single 9-person council, we now have these 2 5-person councils. So if you're used to living, let's say, as I am in District 6, I now live in City District 2 and Parish District 4. So even just getting up to speed on what's the number of your district and who is running for those districts, I think it's going to be very important.
Wow. Well, but now, okay, this strikes me as extremely confusing. Although I would imagine, when you go into the polling booth that because it's individualized, that the person would only be looking at the races that they were eligible to vote in.
Yes.
So you don't have to initially go and try to place yourself, oh, I'm in District 1 and in this one in District 5. When you walk in, you will know where you are because your ballot will read that way.
That is correct.
Although it's always good to prep before.
However, you're going to want to know of those options that are on the ballot, which one of those people most aligns with your own views and beliefs.
Well, that's a whole different question. And we'll get to that right after we take this short break. We're talking today to Andre Breaux of One Acadiana and Dr. Christy Malloy of League of Women Voters and UL Lafayette. We'll be back in a second.
I love short fiction. Short fiction is like close-up magic. This is Neil Gaiman. Get your story fixed this week on Selected Shorts from PRI, Public Radio International.
6 p.m. Friday on KRBS.
The world feels like it's getting bigger all the time. There are daily developments on major stories around the world and more great music than at any other time. Staying current isn't always easy. But when you listen to KRVS, you hear about people, places, and ideas that matter to you, and you discover great music every day. Your support of KRVS makes that all possible. Please make your contribution today, online or mobile at krvs.org, and thank you.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Pearson Cross, your host on Bayou de Beltway. Today we are joined by Andre Breaux from One Acadiana and Dr. Christy Malloy from League of Women Voters and UL Lafayette. As we went to break, we were talking about the local elections, and there are a great number of them. The council has changed form. There are now, as Dr. Malloy said, 2 councils made up of 5 persons each and so on. There are a number of local elections, mayor, president, sheriff, coroner, clerk. So what's going to help people figure out who's running and who they should support? What should they do? I understand that your organizations are putting on some forums. Maybe you could talk about those forums just a little bit.
I'll start by talking about some of the work that the League of Women Voters is going to be doing for the upcoming election season. One thing that we always do is put together a nonpartisan election guide, which provides helpful tips about when the actual election dates are, October 12th. The early voting begins September 28th. How to get registered, how to double check that your registration is up to date, as well as information on all of the races and who is running in those. Of course, we won't know that until the qualifying period ends, which is August 6th through 8th. So most of this information isn't going to be available to the average person until that second week of August.
That's now nonpartisan, just for those people who are a little fuzzy about that. Nonpartisan means?
We do not advocate on behalf of any candidate or against any candidate. So it's just sort of the facts, man. Here's who's running. Here's what their political affiliation is. And for ballot propositions, which are often very confusing, we write explanatory guides just saying, here's what it means when we say we're going to rededicate a millage. What does rededicate mean? What does millage mean? We try to demystify some of that legalese language and make it a little more accessible for folks.
Why did the League of Women Voters originally decide to be a nonpartisan or non-aligned politically organization?
I think it gives us a lot more latitude to work with and partner with various organizations. Our mission is really engagement and helping people meet candidates, understand the issues, and then make decisions themselves. We do take policy positions, especially on issues like accessibility, making sure that people have access to early voting, that the building itself is accessible and friendly, especially for our disabled community or elderly community. Those are the kinds of local issues that we work most prevalently on.
I do have to say that the people who work at the elections, when you go, they're exceedingly friendly. They seem so happy to see you. And then
they
realize
so few of us.
They're happy to see anyone. They just want to be visited. They're like the Maytag people.
They are.
Exactly. So we'll talk about forums specifically in a second. Let's go over to Andre. So you have some forums coming up, or you want to talk about these forums?
So like the League, we're also going to be putting together some factual information that we'll be posting on our website and promoting shortly after qualifying.
And you're nonpartisan as well, is that correct?
We are nonpartisan as well. And we do, like the League, we also take positions on issues, but we don't, as we were discussing, endorse candidates.
Gotcha.
And once we do have that information ready to go on our website, we're also going to include information on our upcoming forums. And so we've been talking about a busy local ballot and a busy state ballot, and we'll have programming around both. On the local side, we're partnering with the College of Liberal Arts at UL Lafayette.
Go figure.
Thank you, Dr. Cross and Dr. Malloy, on a mayor-president forum that will be broadcast live on KATC. So stay tuned for more information to come about that. And we're going to be doing something to engage our investors and members with the parish and council races in Lafayette to give them a chance to interact with the candidates, get to know the candidates a little bit better, and for the candidates to get to know Winnecadiana a little bit better and the resource we can be to our elected officials. At the same time, we're doing something on the school board races in conjunction with LPESC, the Lafayette Public Education Stakeholders Council. So that'll kind of wrap up a series of three programs around the local elections. We're looking to partner with Cable, PBS, and UL Lafayette on a gubernatorial forum in Lafayette in September, as well as engage in some of the other statewide races and legislative races together with our partners in other parts of the region.
Wow, that's a full slate. You mentioned something that we hadn't talked about yet, and that's school board elections, right? So wow, that's a whole different ball game. There's so much.
I'll say, too, that the school board, this is the first time the school board's on the same ballot in Lafayette Parish as the other statewide races. So our last school board elections were in 2014, and this term was extended for a fifth year to put those races on the same ballot as the statewide races, with the idea being that people are going to be more engaged and more likely to vote in a gubernatorial election.
And that's probably true, and that's what other states do, and that's what good government experts argue that should happen, fewer elections that are more consequential. But, of course, it again lengthens that ballot, so.
To help keep people informed, especially on things like the school board, the league will also be hosting a series of candidate forums.
Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Approximately 9 to 10. That number could go up depending on how competitive some of the races get.
9 to 10 separate forums?
Forums, correct.
Wow.
And we'll do ours regionally. Mm-hmm. So we cluster together, for instance, the school board districts, the northern parish districts, the southern parish, and so on. We'll also be doing forums for city parish council, city and parish councils, the separate councils as well as the mayor president. And we will have a very full slate in August and September as all of these candidates qualify. Lots of opportunities for people to come out, hopefully, and join us. But more importantly, all of these will be filmed by AOC Media and made available after the fact. So if you're a political junkie like me and you want to go back and review the tape and see what those candidates said, you'll have that opportunity.
So let's get a couple of points out. One is that when these forums happen, they will be open to the public. And
open,
they will be free. Okay. If you happen to miss a forum, you'll
correct.
Be probably able to see it on AOC. Mm-hmm. Why would... Now, I know the League of Women Voters. Do you get paid for what you do?
No, nothing.
Why? So why do people – this takes a great deal of energy and time.
It does.
Why do you do this?
We are really – that's a great question. I think all of our members –
I didn't mean to stump you.
No.
Are you starting to reconsider?
Yeah, I've had those moments. No, we have a very dedicated membership of about 50 to 60 people, and we come from all over the parish, men and women. Our organization is not just open for women. And people feel very dedicated to making Lafayette a better place to live and making sure that people know that they have the ability to get engaged. And really, this is an opportunity for us to hold our candidates accountable and not really to put them on the spot, but to give them a chance to explain what their positions are.
Speaking of positions, positions implies issues. So let's move on and talk about issues a little bit. What are some of the biggest, most important issues facing Lafayette Parish and Acadiana generally in this upcoming election? I mean, in terms of things that voters should be thinking about as they decide which candidate for which position that they want to support.
On the local side, I think what you'll hear the mayor president candidates and the council candidates talk about the most is drainage. And that was reinforced by our recent storm event, Hurricane Barry. And I think that not only is this a local issue in Lafayette Parish, but as we know, water doesn't know jurisdictional boundaries. And I should point out there are parish council, parish president, police jury elections across the region. And one positive thing that's happened in Acadiana since the 2016 floods as it relates to drainage is cooperation among our parish presidents. Thanks to the leadership of those parish presidents and to Monique Boulay and the Acadiana Planning Commission to bring that group together to have some discussion about how to invest best in projects that will impact the region as a whole. So I think that local candidates certainly will be talking about drainage, but this is an issue for the region and the state as a whole.
Related to that are also issues of the budget. One of the things that has been made clear as a result of the council split is who's going to pay for all of the infrastructure needs that we're facing. The Lafayette City budget is in pretty good shape, but the parish budget is facing increasing financial pressures while at the same time needing to undertake all kinds of infrastructure repairs and maintenance and various kinds of drainage cleaning projects. So that will be a primary subject that comes up, I think, in many of these different races.
Now, would that be a subject, the budget that mostly comes up in the parish race, like the people who are parish representatives as opposed to city, or will that be in the mayor-president's race, or where will those issues be most?
I think it'll primarily be in the mayor-president and the parish council. However, there are a number of issues where there has historically been cost-sharing. So the different municipalities, you know, are going to say, how are we going to figure this out in terms of our budget structure, which has been rather obscure to many people who don't have CPA's degrees.
Now, a couple of other issues. I know the jail, the sheriff's election is up. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what – is that going to be a contested election? Have you heard anything so far?
I haven't heard anything about other candidates running in that election, but I do know that the sheriff has asked for the parish to provide additional resources for the jail. And as Christy was talking about, the parish doesn't have much, if any, money right now. So the new parish council is going to have a tall order to figure out how to cover both existing expenses and perhaps new expenses that might be asked of them.
You know, when you said earlier, Andre, you were talking about, you know, get businesses to locate and get people of talent to come here. Is there an assumption that that's going to cost more money, that somehow people are saying, yeah, that all sounds good, but now does this mean I'm going to have to, you know, pony up a few more tax dollars to provide this environment? So how do you as a business organization address that kind of issue?
I think we seek to provide a balance. So we want to adequately fund key priorities like infrastructure, like our public education system, but we also want to make sure that we're competitive for business in terms of our tax environment. That's something I know the new legislature and governor are going to have been looking at closely over the past 4 years, and we'll be looking at closely over the next 4 years as well.
And these are questions. There are listeners out there that are deeply concerned about one or more of these issues, about drainage or about budgets or about costs or about taxes. And so the forums that your organizations are providing and the public feedback is an important part to get involved in the discussion. Would you say, is it important for people to get involved?
Absolutely.
That's what's called a softball in our
business. Critical. So here's one reason why. Whenever we only have 40% of our registered voters showing up, those 40% don't necessarily...
That's
under the best of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Those don't necessarily represent the demographics of our parish as a whole. Those tend to be more rural, more wealthy, more white, and especially older voters. And as someone who teaches at a university and is really looking to engage young people in the process... it's critical that we start getting people into the habit of voting now so that our average voting age isn't necessarily 60 any longer.
Is that our average voting
age? It's around 56 to 58 in most voting.
Wow, that's amazing. Andre?
Well, and with so many seats and so much on the ballot as well, this is a chance to really direct the future of the city and parish of Lafayette, the region, the state. And if you sit on the sidelines, you can't complain if you don't agree with decisions that are made later.
Yeah, but it's so much fun to complain. Where can people go to get more information about the upcoming forums, the election, and so on?
The League of Women Voters will have our voter guide out in the second week of August. That will be available on our website, our Facebook page, social media generally. That's one option.
So you could search Lafayette League of Women Voters.
Yes, lwv-lafayette.org is our website, or just League of Women Voters of Lafayette.
Okay.
And we'll have information on the One Acadiana website, oneacadiana.org, and there's govote.com, which is currently available for folks to access what's on the ballot and where to vote.
That's great. Thank you. We have been talking today to Andre Breaux of One Acadiana, Dr. Christy Malloy of League of Women Voters and UL Lafayette. And thanks for coming in.
Thank you,
Christy. Thank you so much.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
Join me, Megan Brown, for On Card, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. right here on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles.
Tell your story, but I'd rather not say.
The University of Louisiana at Lafayette. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles, streaming online at KRVS.